big announcement to make. Ann said she's going to be here today. So Ed, do you want to give us a little bit of history on Solomon?
On what?
On Solomon? Okay.
You don't wear class day, Ed.
But I'm bummed. Yeah, there you go. He was smart and also foolish at the same time, right? All right, the handout we're on today is the one that was out there. If you picked it up last week, that's fine. It starts out with chapter 2, verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12, that's the handout we're going to start with. Just an FYI, I'll update the handouts on the website. The one on the website is enough to get you going, but I've tweaked the study a little bit, so I'll get the updated version on the website soon. Just remember our two objectives as we go through Ecclesiastes at this time, right? To help avoid common traps. What are some common traps that we want to avoid as we live in this side of heaven? Yeah, falling into the trap that there's always something new and exciting, or we've discovered something really, I mean, it's really nothing new. The discovery might be new to us, but it's not necessarily new. And that's where Romans 11, just that the doxology that Paul was inspired to write, just again, I record there in Romans 11, just as a good reminder, like when we're doing space exploration or when they're doing the deep ocean explorations, you know, we're just amazed at, oh, there's so much more. Well, and to say, duh, right? I mean, of course there is. Our Creator, we think we got him figured out, or we're not even concerned about figuring him out, and yet he's always blowing us away with more, with what he reveals. And so we do have a God who keeps up with the times. I mean, his word is relevant, right? I mean, his word is always timely. And as the world thinks it's really so smart, with the space exploration, for example, they're able to do, well, again, God is so advanced. I mean, he's already has it out there for them to discover, and just another reminder to them that this was already there. So just the foolishness of the world really is foolishness. What the world considers foolishness, God's word really is wisdom. We see that reminder time and time again. And so again, avoid common traps such as that. Also to help us just travel through this life with Christ at the center of it, that we don't forget. And so then to help us with those objectives, as you just noted, nothing new under the sun. Everything under the sun without God, apart from God, really is meaningless. God is the one who gives life meaning. And then the role of God, what that role of God is to be in our life. All right, so chapter 2, beginning verse 12, let's read 12 through 16. We'll look at those words. Wisdom and folly are meaningless. Steve.
Then I turned my thoughts to consider wisdom, and also the madness and folly. What more can a king's successor do than what has already been done? I saw that wisdom is better than folly, just as light is better than darkness. The wise have eyes in their heads, and the fool walks in the darkness. But I came to realize that the same fate overtakes them both. Then I said to myself, the fate of the fool will overtake me also. What then do I gain by being wise? I said to myself, this too is meaningless, for the wise like the fool will not be long remembered. The days have already come when both have been forgotten. Like the fool, the wise too must die.
Okay, thanks. Let's look at those words a little bit. Again, nothing new under the sun, but just a good reiterate how this applies to us today. Again, bottom line, in search to the answer of the meaning for life, what's the conclusion? What do we keep in mind as the rule of thumb? Life not rooted in God is what? Meaningless, purposeless, all right? Pleasure was not working for Solomon, so he turns back to wisdom but not necessarily godly wisdom. Okay? Read sometime again Proverbs, and you understand where he's coming from in talking about wisdom and folly. Then also 1 Corinthians, right? We got a taste of it in our scripture reading for today. But again, as we said earlier, what the world considers wise is really foolish. And what the world considers foolish is really wisdom. And too often, again, we might be tempted to get back on our heels. And that's understandable that we get put back on our heels when we have conversations with the people of this world. Even some Christians who are more focused on what the world thinks than what Christ thinks. But really, we don't have to take a back seat. Even if you don't have all the answers, and you feel intimidated because this person has letters behind their name, do you need to be intimidated? Because you know people who have all those letters behind their name, and they're really not so wise, are they? Or think of somebody who's really book smart, but they're not street smart. They can't really apply their knowledge well. So again, let's not take a back seat, even if we can't answer all the questions or don't have all the initials behind our name. Verse 15, what's the answer to the question? Nothing. Nothing. All right, we came across that earlier. Nothing. So looking at the application there, comment, because God is patient with sin does not mean he endorses it. True. What do we need to keep in mind?
It's still sin.
It's still sin. Okay?
God will forgive if you ask for repentance.
All right, there's forgiveness tied to repentance. Right, God still has an expectation of perfection.
He's waiting for us to ask for forgiveness.
All right, he leads us, right? He gives us that opportunity to repent, to ask for forgiveness. What else do we want to keep in mind about God when it comes, it seems like he allows sin to go on unpunished, or he approves of sin. What do we need to keep in mind? Does approval and allowance are not the same thing. You know, again, God knows what's happening. That doesn't mean he always approves what happens. But we'd like to blame God, because then that can help our soften our conscience, so we think, well, God allowed this to happen, so it's his fault. No. Right? Need to make that distinction. You think about, too, what did God allow in the Old Testament, for example, that we'd be shocked by? But his word is very clear that it's not allowable. Let me think of the polygamy, for example, that was taking place in the Old Testament times. Did God, was he okay with that? No. Even with David's affair as well, there was forgiveness, right? But what also was there? Consequences, right? There were consequences with that. When we ask God to lead us not into temptation, what are we asking him to help us with?
Not letting our old Adam control our life.
All right, not letting our old Adam control our life.
Help us stay on the straight and narrow.
Help us stay in the straight and narrow, okay?
Find a way out.
Find a way out, okay? So again, the knowledge is one thing. Okay, this is a weakness for me. The wisdom is, okay, not go down that trail. To flee from it.
If you turn to God, he gives you the strength to say no.
Right? Yep, so the importance of turning to God to give us the strength. So again, the wisdom, right? Turn to God to give us the strength. So Lord, help us recognize what is that temptation and weakness for me. Give me the strength to resist that, to flee that. And then, Lord, if I fall, pick me back up again. And not use your forgiveness as an excuse. So again, it's one thing to know this is a temptation. It's another thing then, you know, hey, God, you put me in this spot, so it must be okay to go down this road. No. Yeah, that flipping saying, I sin, God forgives, what's the difference, right?
At what cost?
Correct, at what cost? Yeah, nothing new under the sun, right? People have been using that excuse for how long, right? And we still use that excuse. So that we take the words of our Savior seriously when he uses that as one of the petitions. He teaches us what to pray for. Lead us not into temptation. Help us recognize it, avoid it, resist it. So there's knowledge and wisdom that we need to keep in mind. What was the conclusion reached in this section concerning wisdom and folly?
The wise and the foolish die.
Yeah, right? The wise and the foolish die. Well, what's the point of wisdom then? There is none, right? From this earthly point of view?
Yeah.
And yet, what do we need to keep in mind? What wisdom is really the important wisdom?
But Solomon doesn't bring up that kind of wisdom.
I know he doesn't. I know.
Yes.
I know. No? No, you're good. But what wisdom is important? Right? And that's what we need to remember. How many people get caught up in the wisdom of this world? And what happens to those who are wise in the world, even those who are wise in God? What's going to happen? Right? The wisdom of God benefits us in this life, but especially then also, because what's the difference, right? So the fool, right, the one who's rejected God, even though we both die, bless you, what's going to happen?
They'll be like the rich man and Lazarus.
Right? Okay? So, their eternal fate. Right? And people are blowing that off as well, right? Kind of the flippant attitude about sin, they're flippant about their eternity. And so the words of Solomon still speak to us today.
The old comedian, I don't remember, Flip Wilson, used to do the routine, and he used to say, the devil made me do it. How flippant. I mean, it's the truth,
right.
But it was taking it to a, you know, a comic level, and it's worse than that. But, you know, they made it funny.
Right.
In reality, it isn't.
Right.
Well, along with that, I sin, God forgives, at what price? He sent his son, he died for us, doesn't he? That different foundation.
No, I mean, right? That's what we're getting to, right? We want to emphasize what price? It cost Jesus, God's Son, everything, right? So that we could have that forgiveness. And that's what does Jesus call for us continually to be? Humble. Humble yourselves in the Lord's mighty hand. But even as Christians, we can get caught up in worldly wisdom, in the chasing after the things of this world. There's nothing wrong with having degrees, letters behind your name, unless we start thinking makes us more important, right? Or whatever else it might be. The Lord didn't say you can't have thing, material possessions. But again, at what price? And so, you know, again, sometimes there's a false humility that we have to also watch out for. You know, again, I'm so humble, I'm proud of it. Type attitude we have to watch out for. Oh, no? So. All right. The overarching attitude a person, especially a Christian, is to have is what? And why then is this the case? We just talked about that. I mean, again, humility. Let's look at verses 17 to 26. 17 to 26.
Right. So I hated it. Because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun, because I must leave them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether that person will be wise or foolish? Yet they will have control over all the fruit of my toil, into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over all my toilsome labor under the sun. For a person may labor with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then they must leave all they own to another who has not toiled. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What do people get for all the toil, anxious striving with which they labor under the sun? All their days, their work is grief and pain. Even at night, their minds do not rest. This too is meaningless. A person can do nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own. This too, I see, is from the hand of God. For without him, who can eat or find enjoyment? To the person who pleases him, God gives wisdom, knowledge, and happiness. But to the sinner, he gives the task of gathering, storing up wealth to hand it over to the one who pleases God. This too is meaningless, a chasing after the wind.
Thank you. So, as a believer, you might think you are entitled to what?
Trouble-free life,
right? And yet, the Lord reminds us through Solomon's writing, as a believer, you still can expect trouble, heartache, right? And Paul, or the Lord reminds us of that in Acts too, right? Through many trials and tribulations. Or 2 Corinthians, right? That we're going to go through trials and tribulations, and in Romans, right, our present sufferings aren't worth comparing to the glory that awaits us. We're not free from trouble on this side of heaven. Does that mean then we should just cast away what God has given to us in Christ Jesus? No, that's what helps us. That's the anchor, right? That gives us the opportunity to get through Romans 5, to give that perseverance, character, and hope, right? We know what we're to be focused on, not our present sufferings, rather that eternal glory that awaits us. Hated life, verse 17. In John 12, a reminder of a disdain for life, right? And if you love this life to the point that it's all wrapped up in this life, what does that really equal? If you love this life, you're all wrapped up in this life, what will that equal?
Breaking the first commandment.
We're still going to lead you to death.
If you break one, you've broken one, right? You broke them all, right? So, and again, how are we to hate this life? What is a rightful hatred of this life?
Love the Lord, and his rewards, you will have eternal life.
Okay, right? Love the Lord. Don't worship this life. You know, so again, you think of the world and how all its actions, right? Where is the world leading itself? To destruction. Right? So, I mean, there's a rightful hatred toward that, but now we need to be careful that we don't take it too far, but that we don't go along with the world and its ways. So we hate what the world is doing to itself, but we should not be surprised at what the world is doing to itself. We're not to help it on its way, right? We have been called to be salt and light in this world. To not worship the world, but rather worship the Creator. How many people worship the world, right? You know, again, where the baby whale is more important than the baby human. Or again, Mother Earth needs to be taken care of. Well, the Earth needs to be taken care of, and quit calling God Mother, right? And come to a great understanding of who He is. So again, but the foolishness of the world, if they stay in that foolishness, will only lead them to more foolishness and eternal destruction. What's the great misfortune that Solomon talks about? Yeah, you work really hard for what you have, And then you got to leave it to somebody you don't have confidence in. That son-in-law you never liked, right? You know? Yeah.
That's the old Walker's thing. He who has the most toys wins.
Right.
He's still dead, but he's giving it to somebody else who may not really enjoy it. You work like crazy, maybe you get them. You're still going to have to give them away.
That's the other bumper sticker, right? We're spending our kids' inheritance, right? We're not going to give a chance to lose what they would lose anyway. I mean, how many businesses have failed because of that too, right? The parents work hard to establish that business and then they leave it to their kids. And again, the wisdom then in the parents, they think by just handing the business over to their children, they're being good. But really, what's the wisdom that those parents should put into practice?
I have a question about how are we defining wisdom? It used to be the term horse sense and common sense. Is that, we're not speaking of physics and that sort of thing in the wisdom, are we?
No, I mean, context will tell us. I mean, again, for our conversation, it's mixed between application of knowledge, and then there's, again, the wisdom of the world, understanding how the world operates and so forth like that. And then we're also referencing godly wisdom, what the world considers foolish. But
the word does common sense fall under the topic of wisdom.
Yeah.
Is that part of it, or?
You can make that argument, yes. I mean, common sense, right? I mean, there's knowledge, right? And you can have all the knowledge you want, but if you don't have the sense to apply that knowledge.
But if you have common sense, you're still going to die.
Correct. Right. If you have common sense, you're still going to die, right? And that's why, again, we're emphasizing the fact it's not just enough to be wise in the ways of the world, right? What is true wisdom? And the Lord answers that in 1 Corinthians, for example. You know, here's Solomon struggling. I mean, God blessed him with wisdom, and yet it got to him. And how often do we get caught up in the wisdom of the world, whatever you want to define that as, apart from God? And how many people of God, have a knowledge of God and even claim to confess God, but also have allowed the wisdom of the world to take them away. And some of that we'll build on to. I mean, you look at our education system today, right? It's doing a fine job of taking people away. So, again, the importance of not just handing things over, but education, you know, have your children start from the bottom up so they can appreciate. Parents always say, right, we want it better for the next generation. Well, what do you mean by that? What, in a sense, what was so bad how you grew up that you want it better than how you grew up? Now, we're not talking about abusive situations or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that's true, right? We want that mirror, that vase with our name on it. So yeah, when mom passes, we get it. And then you get that vase, and then what happens to it? It probably sits there, right? You know, gathering dust. Yeah. Yeah, the earthly things. I mean, it's a reminder, right? We all come to that same fate. But then there could be that fatalistic, what's the difference? What's the point? But again, if you don't have that relationship with Jesus.
Should we differentiate between good wisdom of the world and bad wisdom? I mean, because a lot of what people learn and do, create, is good, you know, as long as you don't abuse it or use it for wrong purposes.
Right. I mean, there is good wisdom.
Someone reading this doesn't know anything about Bible or anything of God. And sort of go, everything's bad, you know? Let me go kill myself.
Yeah, and that wasn't what Solomon was driving at, we would say.
No,
but right, I mean, is there good wisdom? I mean, again, are there good people in the world? I mean, again, well, what are they motivated by? I mean, people do have their conscience working. They do know murder is wrong. So, again, thankfully not everybody's committing murder. So there is good wisdom. But who's the author of all that? Right? I mean, you know that, and we know that. God is the author of that which is good. And he allows us to learn more and more, discover more and more the wisdom that he has in this world, how his world operates. We think we're, you know, sometimes we think we are uncovering this, and so we have discovered it and we have put it into motion, but it's already there. We're just really, in humility, been allowed to discover it. But it's always been there, so that nothing new under the sun. I mean, you think of some of the interventions. Yeah, great, technology has advanced, but the ability to advance technology has always been there. And you're building on those who were there before.
Yeah. Yeah. A lot of the people who create this stuff or develop this stuff, it's God's wisdom, but a lot of them don't know.
Yeah, right. They don't realize that it's God's wisdom. So again, with agriculture, right, people realized they were dependent on that higher being. And they would recognize, okay, without God, right, we're not going to have our crops, right? But as soon as we became more industrial, right, well, hey, look what our hands are making. But again, who's given you the ability to make this with your hands? Yeah. Right? You know, again, and the more advanced we become, we think we become, really, probably the less we are. So again, the more advanced we think we are as a society, more dependent on ourselves, and we become less reliant on God. So we think. And so then that's the foolishness too. And so life without God really is meaningless if we don't have the connecting points. Find satisfaction. How do we find satisfaction? What was it?
Eat and drink.
Eat and drink.
Well, every day as it is, and enjoy what you've been given.
All right. Go about life as God has given you the life to live. What is not contentment? What's not included in being content? What is God not saying we can't do when he says be content? Not in and of ourselves, but through faith, right? He doesn't say you can't excel in your career. He doesn't say you can't have things. Right? Contentment doesn't mean you have to be living in a dirt shack. But it's those things of life that I realize that that's not going to help me be content, and that's not where life is at. Life is in God. Life is, you know, eating and drinking and finding satisfaction in your work, whether I'm the janitor or whether I'm the CEO. You put your pants on one leg at a time. Maybe you jump in them, whatever, right? But again, as earlier, you still have the same fate. And so the CEO may have more things. But does that mean he or she has a better life? Or their eternity is going to be better? I mean, again, how many are living for this world and not in view of the world to come? Right? So again, we need to understand what contentment is and what it's not. Doesn't mean we can't advance in our career, for example, but at what price? And so how many people have said that too? They would rather work less and be happy in their job than work more or make more and be unhappy. Unfortunately, too often we have to go that route before we realize, why didn't I think of this earlier? That's right.
There's a guy named, I don't know his first name, last name is Letourneau.
R.G. R.G.
R.G. Letourneau. And he started building large, great big equipment for construction way back in the 40s, I think he started. He did it, started in Stockton. But he made multi-million dollars, just tons of it. And he said he had to give away 90% of it. He says otherwise it would, and he's a Christian.
Sure.
Otherwise it would roll over and just take it away.
Yeah, so I mean, a guy who built all this awesome stuff, made millions, right? But gave it away to benefit himself and to benefit others. Otherwise, yeah, it sits there. That's why they say it's probably not as much, but a few years back, it was, there's over $20 trillion that's going to pass hands from generation to generation, and the government's going to get it, most of it, because there's no estate plan. And so let us be proactive with what God has given to us and put it to good use. You know, I know I've mentioned this example before, that farmer in Nebraska who had success, right, and gave all that money away to different colleges and this and that, nonprofits, and ended up having some bad years, and so lost everything. And so then, you know, he was asked, don't you wish you still had that? And he goes, no, I would have lost that too. You know, here it's doing good. Right? Sometimes the more we try to hang on to it, the worse it is.
I think sometimes, who did the Holy Spirit inspire Solomon to write this book? Who's his audience? It's not the people in the world. They're not reading it.
Right.
It's written for people who are believers. And it is the law. And the law is meant to be a hammer to smash hearts to pieces. That's what we resent about this section. Just smashing everything you think about to pieces. It's all meaningless.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so, you know, like Jesus through John, right? Love of the world. You can't love the world and love God. Paul in Philippians, what does he say is the secret to contentment? I've learned the secret of being content. Why did he have to learn the secret of being content? With contentment comes great gain, godly contentment. And the world can learn contentment, but not apply, have it connected to faith. And thus again, even though we suffer the same fate here on this earth, the afterward. You know, again, by nature, are we content people? Our sinful flesh? All right, so the sinful flesh needs to be spoken to. Time and time again. You think what happens in churches that don't preach the law anymore? What then do you also lose? The gospel. Right? And so the importance of law and gospel.
As soon as you go into like your computer, all you see is all the bad things happening. You know.
I don't know what computer you're looking at. Well, we do get caught up, right, in the news, and there's so much in us, and the negative draws us in, right? You know, it's like when you're driving along and there's an accident, traffic comes to a standstill because everybody's got to gawk and check it out, right? Are there body parts sticking out? You know, it's, you're right, we get too caught up in that. Now, again, technology has a positive use, and let's use technology, let's not throw it out, Let's find a good way to use it. All right, so find satisfaction. We're not going to find it man's way, but God's way. And so verse 24, the hand of God symbolizing his power. Again, with God, all things are possible. What we think we can't accomplish or achieve, remember who has connected us to himself. With God, all things are possible. When it comes to recognizing temptation, to resisting temptation, to being picked up when we do fall. Again, part of the wisdom is also realizing, as long as we are on this side of heaven, what will we probably end up doing? Sinning. And thankfully, God keeps directing us back to the cross. That sin's been paid for. What does Satan want to do? Oh, what? Keep bringing it back up. Oh, you reached your limit. You're done. Well, he can forgive that, but not this. Right? And so God give us the wisdom to not listen to Satan, but to listen to God.
My pastor says it's a good swimmer.
Yes, he's a good swimmer. But we got one who's even better. Applying the scriptures, what keeps us plugging away? I mean, we see where Solomon's coming from. And so as we look at those words and we're just kind of shaking our head, what keeps us moving forward? Faith. Faith, right? The object of that faith, Jesus, keeps plugging away. We may not get it, we may not understand it, but we keep plugging away. You know, what did Paul say in Philippians too, right? When you're running a race, where don't you look? You don't look back, right? We keep straining ahead. And again, on this side of heaven, we realize we're not there yet. But how many people are trying to build a heaven here on earth? We're not there yet. Keep plugging away. What are some of the causes of burnout in the workplace or in the home or on the court or field? You know, what are some causes? Legit or not legit? We're not judging that right now.
Meaningless repetition,
right? You know, if you go into a shaker foundry and you watch those guys in the line, men or women, I mean, it's just like 8 hours a day. Yeah, watching that line go through. But praise God, they're doing it.
It has a purpose.
It has a purpose, right? And that's what we need to remember. They have a purpose. And that person on that line may be happier. Right? We had a friend, you know, who used to work in those shaker foundations, so he gave us a tour, and you just watch those guys, and they do this day after day. When that belt line's, you know, got to get the stone, bigger stones out, and so you can't mess up. Day after day, but if they didn't do that, right?
It's a shaker.
Those big equipment that breaks down the big rocks into little rocks, and so then they can turn it into concrete and asphalt and everything like that. Sorry, yeah, thanks. Very messy, right? Or if you work for Jolly Green Giant, right? You know, the bean factory or whatever. If you had to work on those lines, you know, day after day, God be praised for it, right? That's not for everybody. But let's build up and encourage those people because everybody has an important role. Same if you worked on a fishing boat, right? You know, again, praise the Lord that people are willing to do that work. Yeah, at least you know your job, right? Cause of burnout, repetition, monotonous work.
Oh yeah. 24, a person gives nothing better than to eat and drink and find satisfaction in their own body.
Yeah, no goal, right? Exactly. And so even if you do find satisfaction in your work, what still can happen in this side of heaven? You're still going to die. I mean, you're still going to have days where it's not going to be as meaningful or you're going to lose your purpose. But again, you get sometimes a kick to get going or sometimes that gentle reminder, again, of the bigger picture. You know, we said it before, you can have, you know, what made Tom Brady the quarterback that he is? I mean, yes, he's been blessed with some talent. What?
Was,
yeah. But if he didn't have an offensive line, I mean, some of you may remember the name Lynn Dickey. That guy probably was one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, they say. But he didn't have a line or receivers really to throw to. He had one good receiver. But I mean, but if he had a line, imagine the records that he could have broken, they said. But he kept getting sacked. You know, again, so if you don't have a line opening holes and protecting the quarterback, but who gets all the glory? Right? Exactly.
You're laughing on that. Jim Plunkett, when he was with the Patriots, John Morris was a friend of mine, went to Holy Cross, was the second. Very, very good. Asked him after one game, they lost again by big numbers. What's your best play, John? Plunkett running for his life in the backfield with the three receivers out there waving their arms. I mean, because he didn't have a line. Are you telling me the other guys aren't any good? He said, I can't do it alone.
And that's why, quarterback from Annabelle, Marino, thank you. Marino always bought presents for his line. He needed to increase their balls so they were protected. Another way that we become burnt out, unfulfilled expectations, kind of what the goal too. You think of your type A personality, right? You probably suffer from burnout more so because of those unfulfilled expectations. You don't see the fruit. And so again, taking that step back, kind of giving like that story about the monk, you know, that all the monks in the monastery are working on their own little patches in the big room, and the one monk just gets frustrated, throws up his hands, this is pointless. And so then the Montsor takes him up on the balcony and says, and I look down. And he sees all the quilt patches coming together and goes, all your little monotonous thing is building this beautiful thing. And once he saw that bigger picture. I mean, so part of our prayer, God, help us see the bigger picture, especially if we don't see it. And whether we're recognized for being a part of the bigger picture or not, right? What did Paul write by inspiration today? Our boast is not in us, but our boast always needs to be in us. Right? There's other things too that can lead to burnout.
Isn't a contributor to burnout discouragement?
Discouragement.
You don't see an end to the goal and you just give up, kind of give up.
Yep. Yeah, you don't see an end to the goal, you just kind of give up. And that's where, again, we need that reminder of faith line is what keeps us going. Plugging away. So, yes.
Accolades or glory from coworkers, your boss, they don't seem to notice the hard work that you're doing, and that's frustrating.
Yeah, right, when you don't get those excellent, you know, words of praise go a long way, whether it be in the home, in the workplace, or whatever, because we're often quick to discourage or point out the error, but not so quick to give the word of praise. And we don't have to go over the top, but yeah, it's a good reminder. You know, even within the church, right, as we see people, you know, making a connection.
Your mind is good.
What?
Your mind is good.
Oh, right, it's good. Thankfully, God is not bad. Well, my mind is bad. Thankfully, God is not bad.
Even if you can't
do a lot of the things you did before, at the very least, you can pray for people and still be a witness to people.
Right. Yeah, you still can pray for people, be a witness for people. And even if you're not even always cognizant, again, there's still a purpose there. You're giving someone else the opportunity to have a job or to volunteer. I mean, so it's not always about us, right? So it's all in God's timing. You know, again, how much of the load do you give at one time? But yeah, it's right. It's a good reminder. I mean, as believers, right, don't we long for that day? And so, praise the Lord. We long for that. You know where you're going. Because too many people don't. And at the same time, let God be God.
I can't tell you how many times my mom at 98 has shared that with people who care for her. And she'll just say, I don't want you to do anything because I'm ready to go be with my Lord. So many times with her care, you know, her doctors and stuff. So she gets to share her faith all the time. With, you know, I can't not wait to go be with my Lord. And the assurance that she has in it has got to be telling people, wow, she's got something that I don't have.
What a great witness, right?
Well, it's huge.
Yeah. Just to recognize why I'm confident, why I'm ready. Yeah. Well, thank you, the Lord has called you to be ready, and may He continue to give you that confidence that you look for and need. To God be the glory.